Hey, God bless you, Summit Online Campus. Man, it is so good to be with you guys again. I'm excited about this weekend. It is Hawaiian Shirt Weekend. Why? Because COVID, and we're just trying to keep our sanity and have a little fun. So we thought it would be fun for everybody to wear their Hawaiian shirts, even at home. So I hope you've got yours on. I hope you're inside staying cool, and I hope you have a nice frosty cold drink in your hand, because we are in part three of this message series we're doing called Better Because of It. And listen, we need encouragement right now. We need some good news. It seems like no matter where you turn or who you're talking to, it is really hard to get good news out of people. So I want this to be a moment where you sit back and just kind of let some good news, some encouragement wash over you. Now I'm going to start and I'm going to tell you some stuff that doesn't sound like good news, but we're going to get there. Okay. So hang with me. From 1918 to 1920, if you've been listening, actually, some of this is getting talked about a little bit more frequently now. From 1918 to 1920, the Spanish flu killed almost 50 million people. That's 50 million in just a span of 2 years. From 1956 to 1958, the Asian flu killed over 2 million people. Hang on, there's even more. In 1968, the Hong Kong flu killed over 1 million people. In just two outbreaks of the bubonic plague, these are two separate outbreaks, but they only lasted a total of about 8 years. Listen to this, over 225 million people died because of it. But more recently, since 1981 until present, there have been more than 36 million people who have died because of HIV/AIDS. And in the last 10 years alone, almost a half million people, over 400,000 people, have died in the U.S. alone from the common flu. And you may be wondering, why is all that information important? And here's why it's important, because it means that none of us in America, none of us across the globe, are immune to being touched by sickness. All of us are prone to being sick. It can reach and touch any one of us. And if that sickness is bad enough, and if it goes unchecked and our health doesn't increase, that sickness can become fatal. So I wonder, is that why we see so much of the passionate and zealous and even angry responses to what's been happening around us in the recent months? And I think it's either because of one of two things, and maybe you'll fit into one of these categories, or maybe you'll be somewhere in between those two. We're either scared of that which threatens our health, or we don't think that our health is at risk at all. We're in denial that there's any risk to our health at all. So those who embrace the idea that their health is at risk, then they would celebrate plexiglass at every checkout stand and at every bank teller's window. They celebrate and embrace the limits on people going into the store. They celebrate the idea of staying 6 feet apart, or restaurants seating people outside alone, or mask being worn in public, or hand sanitizer everywhere you go, or taking the temperature of people everywhere you turn. But those who don't feel like their health is at risk, then they sort of get pretty frustrated and even angry and hate all the disruption and think all of that is complete nonsense. But no matter where you and I fall in either one of those camps, we can all agree that, listen, we're thinking about health more than we ever have before. And if we're really smart, you and I aren't going to let this moment slip by us. We're not going to let all of this craziness, all of this disruption, because no matter where you fall, you'll admit that it's a disruption to the way we used to do things, and it's in the name of health. And if we're really, really smart, and you and I as followers of Christ should always be looking for opportunities to let God do something important in our life because of a moment like this, if we're really smart, we're not going to let this moment slip by us. We're actually going to let it make us better because of it. You and I need to do a full body, soul, spirit health checkup. Let me say that again. You and I really need to look over ourselves and do a wholeness of health checkup. Make sure that we're living at our very highest and best. That's what we say here at Summit, is that we believe that God has created us to live our highest and best lives. And that means highest and best in every area of our life, emotionally, spiritually, and physically as well. And if we're not doing that, if we do that health checkup and we assess that we're not doing as well as we need to be doing, then guess what? We need to figure out how to get better at being healthier, right? Okay, so we're going to do that together. Grab your notes if you don't already have them out. If I want to get better at being the healthiest me I can be, I need to start, number one, taking back 100% ownership of my health. Taking back 100% ownership of my health. So we're now about 6 months into this COVID thing, at least about March is when it all shut down. I know it's probably been around a little bit longer than that, but this is when the world really changed about 6 months ago. And the financial impact so far has already been immeasurable. It's already cost us as American taxpayers trillions of dollars. It has cost businesses, both big and small, untold billions. Tourism has decreased by over 90%. Almost 40 million people have lost their jobs since this began. And live events like sporting events, concerts, things like that, came to an absolute standstill. Can't get a cruise to save your life. Stores, restaurants, churches like ours, schools have had to absorb excessive expenses in some futile attempt to make their buildings safer from spreading the virus. Now, I think most of that has been unnecessary, and I say unnecessary because, listen, and hold on, because you just probably had an emotional reaction. I say unnecessary because it occurred to me along the way as I was staying up late one night, and I was scouring the internet, and I was trying to find hand sanitizer and mask for our church and our volunteers and our staff and Lysol so that we could spray things down. We didn't know if we'd be in the building and how much of the stuff that we could use. Latex gloves and Clorox wipes and commercial sanitizing equipment and plexiglass sneeze guards to cover our donuts. And all of those things were just ridiculously hard to find and absurdly expensive when we could find them. And I thought about this, that every leader of every business and every restaurant and every organization and every school and every church was worrying about all of these things and sometimes even more. And here's the question I stopped and asked myself. When did I turn over the responsibility of my health to Target or Sam's Club, or Chipotle, or the Western Plaza Unified School District, or Summit Church, or to anyone else for that matter? Hang with me. Here's what I mean. There are over 5 million cases of COVID that have been reported, with about 50,000 new cases happening every day. There are 165,000 deaths that have been assigned to COVID, with about 1,500 new deaths being reported each day. And at no point, literally at no point, did I think this: how is Home Depot or Chase Bank going to protect my health? I never did. I got emails from all of them. I got emails from companies I haven't heard from forever. And they were telling me what they were doing to help keep me safe. And I'm going to be completely candid with you. I've never once given them my permission to keep me safe because it's not their responsibility. And when it comes to my mental health and my emotional health and my financial health and my relational health and my spiritual health and my parenting health and all the other things that God created me to be healthy in and live my highest and best in, the burden has always been on me to be healthy. And so the burden is then for me to take back the responsibility that I have intentionally or unintentionally given away and assigned to somebody else. So as much as I appreciate the efforts of all those organizations and all the hard work that we've gone through to create a safe environment, the reality is it's not Target's job or Casa Ramos's job or the school's job to keep me or you safe. It's our job to keep ourselves safe. Galatians 6, 4 through 5 says it this way: each person should judge his own actions and not compare himself with others. You know, kind of the way we do when we blame somebody for wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, when somebody's too close to us or not far enough away from us, or we tend to compare ourselves to them, and we kind of virtue signal that we're doing it better, that we're the smarter one of the two of us if they're doing something different. Each person should judge his own actions and not compare himself or herself with others. Then he or she can be proud of what he has done for himself. Each person must be responsible for himself. Listen, all throughout God's word, he makes the onus of health rest on the shoulders of each one of us. You need to capture this moment and say, this is a time for me to be at my healthiest, and it's my responsibility to get there. And that brings us to number two, and actually it's our final point. If I want to get better at being the healthiest me I can be, I need to start, number two, focusing 100% of my attention to 100% of my health. 100% of my attention to 100% of my health. So I'm pretty open in talking about and sharing that I have ADHD, and I think it helps, actually, one of the reasons I do it is because I think it helps explain a little bit of how I'm so charming and lovable. No, I think it helps explain why maybe sometimes I am the way I am. Lisa often asks the question, why are you the way you are? And that helps explain some of it. But one of the symptoms of having ADHD in both children and adults is something called hyperfocus. And it sounds exactly like what you would think it would be, in that sometimes, not everybody, but people with ADHD can hyperfocus, in which it means that you get so deeply immersed into an activity or a hobby or a project for some period of time that you begin to lose track of time, you ignore other tasks, you forget about responsibilities or other things, important things, appointments even, and just being generally oblivious to everything around me or even people around me. And that can be frustrating as people see things being neglected or, for instance, my assistant shot me a text today and said, hey, did you contact this person? We're not getting a bill from them still. And she's been actually telling me that for some period of time now. And that's probably got to be a little frustrating for her, because when she tells me that, it's important to me. It is. And then all it takes is something else that my focus shifts to, and I forget literally everything else that I'm supposed to be doing. Now, before you start going, wow, that guy has some serious miswired things going on in his brain, I am going to actually diagnose all you right now. In all of my qualifications as a mental health expert, I'm going to diagnose every one of you right now with spiritual ADHD. And the primary symptom of spiritual ADHD is your inability and my inability to regulate our focus on more than one thing at a time. You see, ADHD is not just about not having enough attention. It's not giving your attention to all the things that matter, instead shifting it to maybe just one thing that matters more to you at that time. And I think I can safely diagnose almost all of us with spiritual ADHD. And here's why I say that. Whether you and I like or don't like everything we have to do in order to walk into Safeway or eat at a restaurant or go to a church service, I have never seen people more focused on staying healthy than I am right now. And I'm guessing you haven't either, unless you've lived a lot longer and you experienced one of these other plagues or sicknesses that I talked about. But I can't remember a time in my entire life where I've seen people more hyper-focused on staying physically healthy. But studies are showing with alarming, scary results that people's emotional and spiritual health are rapidly and dangerously declining. Marriages are failing, abuse is up, people's mental health, suicide statistics are up, and the reason is as obvious as the nose on our faces, that we have been so hyper-focused on keeping ourselves physically healthy to the extent of being obsessed that we have given almost none of our attention, none of our resources, none of our government funding, none of any of the things that we're using to stay physically safe. We haven't used any of those same things, that same focus to stay spiritually healthy or healthy as a parent or healthy as the spiritual leaders of our homes, moms, dads. Listen, to be emotionally healthy and mentally healthy, to be healthy as a husband or a wife, to be a really healthy spouse, we really haven't given attention to anything we can't put sanitizer on or put a mask over. And because of that, health is declining in the most important areas of our lives. Because statistics do tell us, we're going to make it through this, that virtually all of us will be okay. Not that there won't be some casualties because of this, because there have been. But you would think, with how much is going on in our emotional health, in our families, in our home life, you'd think we would be able to snap out of it and give some of our health attention, our health focus, over to the things that matter most in our lives. So listen to what 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 says, and this is what we're going to end with. May God Himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole. So I want to pause for just a second. God Himself is holy and He is whole. Now, English language, you can't see how I'm spelling that as I'm saying it, but those are two different words, holy, H-O-L-Y, and whole, W-H-O-L-E, holy, spiritually set apart, that there is purity in God, and whole, complete. God is those two things. God is complete and He is holy. May God Himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, listen, make you holy and whole. That is God's will for us, to be both holy and whole. And if you don't know what that means, it means put you together, spirit, soul, and body, our spiritual life, our intellectual and emotional life, and our physical life. God created you as a holy and whole being, and He is the only means by which you and I can be holy and whole. And keep you fighting, or keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, He'll do it. So here's what all of that means. And this is the encouragement you can leave with, is that God wants you to be healthy, not just physically healthy. Obviously, God wants you to be physically healthy. God didn't create us for sickness. Sin introduced sickness into this world. And now we suffer the residual consequences of that. So there is physical sickness that goes on. But if there is something as tangible as physical sickness, why are we often in denial of the marital sickness and the emotional sickness, the mental sickness, and especially the spiritual sickness that's going on in our life? Why are we so hyper-focused on keeping ourselves physically safe, which is a good thing, to be physically safe and to be physically healthy? We should be focused on that. You should have been focused on that before. I should have been focused on that before. I should have been eating better. I should have been sleeping more. I should have been doing things, exercising and investing in my physical health before. But I'm glad that we're investing in it now, but that's not where it stops. It has to continue into our soul, into our intellect, into our emotions, and be whole and to be holy in our spiritual health as well. Listen, God wants you to be better because of this. I want you to be better because of this. And you can be better because of it. And here's why: because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you do, you have access to everything that He has. And He is holy and whole. And He wants you to be more like Him every day. His word, time in prayer, in connection with other believers who are going to bring the best out of you. You've got to disconnect from the places and the things and the people who are draining your health, and connect with that which is going to feed your physical, emotional, and spiritual health 24/7, because that's what you need. Amen. Let's pray together, and then we're going to end right here. Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You for this opportunity to be better because of all of the things that we feel like are stealing life from us. This moment can actually bring greater life, greater health, not just to our bodies, but to our minds, our emotions, our marriages, our finances, our parenting, and to our spirit life, our spirit health, our relationship. It can thrive with You in this. Instead of shaking our fist and wondering why You're letting it all happen, we draw close to You and we say, thank You, God, that I'm going to come out on the other end of this different, changed, better because of it. And that's our prayer for every single parent, for every single child, for every single person, for every individual follower of Christ who's committed to being better because of it, living their very highest and best in the midst of what may feel like the worst season of their life. We give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.